do ask an interest in your prayers. As I stand before you this morning, I'm very thankful for the prayer that's gone before. Appreciate the dear brother that made the effort to speak in our behalf to the Lord. Been with me this week helping at the house with a lot of my wall boarding and stuff like that. He's got to see me in a little different light at times, especially when Lowe's didn't put my window in just right. And you got to see some of the oot side, which isn't so, as you know.
You handled it well,
bro. Well, we won't go there. The Lord told me otherwise, so I knew there were some things I needed to get straight there. But I'm very thankful for brethren. I did probably a lot better because Brother Terry was with me than I would have been if he wasn't there. So, and everything worked out okay. Y'all pray for me this morning. I really feel the need of the Lord's blessing today, especially so because it's today, it's right now, it's this moment. I've always needed him, and needed him yesterday, needed him this morning when I got up out of the bed, needed him to watch over me last night. As I stand before you right now to speak in his name, I feel a great need of his blessing to be able to say what he would have me to say and to be what he would have me to be in his way as a minister of the gospel, to preach the truth in love and with all long suffering and doctrine, truth and the love of God. And we know without the Lord we can't do anything, but with him we can do whatever he would have us to do. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read a passage from the Psalms this morning. It's been on my mind. It's the 116th division of the Psalms, got 19 verses. We'll read all of the Psalm in your hearing, and as the Lord leads us, speak from it. Psalm 116 begins the very first verse. He says, the psalmist writing here, and I believe David to be the author of this particular Psalms. Sometimes we think all the Psalms are written by David, but that's not so. We do know this one, or feel that this one is written by David. He says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. The psalmist in this particular psalm begins, I love the Lord. That's a wonderful statement. We sing number 10 in our books. There is a name I love to hear. Is that right? I love to sing. I love to sing its worth. Anyway, it says, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And the reason we love Jesus, the hymn writer puts from the Bible, because he first loved me. We love him because he first loved us. Today we come and express our love to the Lord. I hope that's why you're here today, that you're coming to express your love to the Lord. That's important. It's important for God's little children to call upon the name of the Lord and always in every prayer just say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to tell the Lord that you love him. And understand that you love him because he first loved you. He gave you love to be able to love him with. Without him giving you love, you couldn't love him. You wouldn't love him. As a matter of fact, without him giving you faith, you wouldn't know to call on him. Because you wouldn't understand that he is. But by faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, you know that the Lord is. And not only do you know that he is, and if you didn't love him, and if you didn't feel he loved you, then it would be a fearful thing to know that he is. To know that the Lord is to acknowledge that he's in charge, and to know his character is to know that he's holy and righteous, and one who said he could not even look upon sin. And when the Lord allows you to see what you are by nature, one of the things you begin to see is, I'm a sinner, I'm lost. You read the Bible, and the Bible tells you that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there's none good, no, not one. And that if we try to get right enough to have fellowship with this God, which he's allowed us to know that he is, if we try to get good enough, well, we'll always fall short of the mark, because our righteousness, at the very best of trying to get right, is but as filthy rags. And there is no hope for us to have fellowship with this Lord outside of his love, which, by the way, was shown unto us unconditionally, even before the very foundation of the world. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God who changes not? I believe that the God who is going to love all of his children in eternity, and I do believe that, don't you? I believe God's going to love all of his children, all of his people that are with him in glory. He's going to love them in eternity, forever and ever and ever. I don't believe there's any of them that are going to be separated from him and his love. Those that are in heaven are the same ones that in time he also loved enough to call out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. And he won't miss one of them. They are a people that he not only started loving in time and loves in eternity in heaven, but in eternity in the past. You know, and how do you explain eternity? Eternity is forever. It doesn't have time. And yet our best efforts is to talk about eternity past. I mean, eternity in our mind back there. But it is ever, God is the one who inhabits eternity, and he has an unchangeable, everlasting love that he's loved us with, and he never changes that. So the ones he loved in heaven and immortal glory will be the same ones he loves in time, will be the same ones he loved even before the foundation of the world. And his love was placed upon us, not when we were lovable in the sense of our behavior, but while we were yet in our sins, Jesus, because of his great love, came and died for the ungodly. Not the godly, the ungodly. And washed us up in his own blood. And made us fit for heaven. And cleaned us. And made us fit to be able to praise him. Our praise this morning, I enjoyed the song service very much. But I'm telling you, this morning, in our very, I felt it was good in a natural way. I loved it. I love good music. I love to hear the harmonies and those kinds of things. And I enjoyed that this morning in a natural way. But I'm telling you, in the ears of heaven, it would have not been fit to be heard, because there were some imperfections in our very best effort. Not one of us had every note on track. We mix up words, we mix up notes. But I'm telling you, in the blood of Jesus, he heard it, and it was like a sweet smelling savor to him. It's like the incense, the prayers, and the songs of praise to the Lord are like incense before him and a sweet smelling savor. And the reason that's the case is because beside him, seated on his right hand, is one who is one with him, the very Son of God, seating there making intercession for us. So that as we sing prayers, and a lot of our hymns this morning were prayers. I love to sing hymns that are prayers. And the words are real good, and you can sing them from your heart, and they praise unto God, and they express, oh, how I love Jesus. I love the Lord. And we love him because he first loved us. And if he had not first loved us, we would have never loved him. But I'm telling you, it's important for us this morning to express that love. We're here this morning to express that love. We want to express it. Lord, I love thee. I love thee. We even sing, I want to love him more. Don't you? I want to love him more. Because I see there's... And what does that mean to love him? Herein is love. You want to really see love. We can read in the scripture where he says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Listen, you want to see love? You look at Jesus coming from heaven for us and dying on the tree of the cross and paying a sin debt we could not pay. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we might be called the sons of God. And I'm telling you, when you see what he's done for us, there was no reason that I can understand that he loved us other than it was his will and his desire to do so. We, in turn, have every reason to love him. And that's why the psalmist here wrote, because. I love the Lord because. You ever thought about the Lord loves me because? You think about that question. Why would the Lord love me? All I've ever done, according to the scripture, is I was born in sin. I was shaping in iniquity. Even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. You know, I have the Lord who's blessed me with so much and given me so many blessings naturally and spiritually. And all I have to do is have somebody come in and put my window in a way, and I get all upset about everything, like everything in my life is bad and not good. And just a little old thing. Now, y'all didn't have a window put in, but you've had your problems this week too, no doubt. You've had things like that. Things that come along in your life and get a bump in the road and you go like, oh me, why is this happening? Everything looks bad. It's not going to get better. Instead of getting confident in the faith that God has given us, we get weak and shaken sometimes by the troubles and the problems of life. And brethren, the Word comes to us and reminds us, listen, I love the Lord. And then more importantly, the Lord loves you. And he loves you enough that whatever you come in contact with, he already knows about it. And he is able to give exceedingly above anything you could ask or think to help you through that problem and that situation. And even those problems come to teach you lessons. I've learned some lessons this week with a bad window. My window's okay now, by the way. You know, I hope I'd be just as happy this morning if it wasn't, though. I hope I will. I hope I've learned that, at least for a little while. And I hope when I forget it again, somebody will remind me. And I hope when I look at that, it'll remind me that, listen, we have a home promised us in heaven. If our home down here gets destroyed, there's a home awaiting us. If our health down here deteriorates, there's a perfect setting awaiting us in glory where we'll be completely well, body, soul, and spirit with the Lord forever. And that is coming. This little span of time, no matter how long it is just a few days, and it soon passes away, and it's just like a blink, a puff of smoke. James says it's just a vapor. It's just here for a while. And there's a time coming that will be without end. We sang about that. How beautiful heaven must be. Won't it be good when we're with... Won't it be wonderful there? What a day it'll be when we're with the Lord, body, soul, and spirit, and forever to be with him there in glory. And brethren, keep that in mind when your window doesn't look just right. Whatever that is for you. I love the Lord. Listen, I couldn't even say I love him today if he didn't love me first. And he said, because, listen, he hath heard my voice. He heard my voice. Has he heard your voice? Have you prayed to him at times and had him answer your prayers? Have you called on him and found some peace in your life? Listen, if you call upon him, the Bible says that if we all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, come unto me and ye shall find rest. So if you call upon him, he is quick to answer. He will supply those things that you need. He doesn't always give you everything that you want, but he'll give you a peace and a rest about it. That's why we all brought... Listen, I don't think any of y'all would have really wasted the time this morning of saying, okay, we got this problem, that problem, and another problem, if you didn't think there was some benefit in calling upon the Lord. I've called upon him, and he's answered my prayers. He says, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. You know why he answered them? Not because I was something sending up there, but because Jesus died on the cross and he's seated on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you. So that when you get in trouble and your home gets in trouble, your family gets in trouble, your wife and husband are not having such a real good time, it seems like there's a wall between you, you can come together in prayer and look to the Lord, and He can heal whatever's broken. He can supply the light when you're in the dark. He can give you strength when you feel like everything is falling apart. He is and will be forever all that we ever need in this world and in eternity. He's our everything. Listen, if you think somebody else in this world is your everything, you're going to find yourself let down. You know, sometimes we think, well, this person's my everything. You know what happens to them? They're going to eventually come to the place they have to leave this old. You may be mama or daddy. One day you're going to lose mama and daddy. We don't like to think about that, but that's going to happen. One day we may lose our loved ones here in this world. The good news is this. If they're God's little children, to be absent from the body is not a bad thing, is it? It's because they're present with the Lord. And they are now at home in glory. But they can't help us here in this world. But I'll tell you this. The God who gave you them, who blessed them to be a help to you while they were here, has not left the scene. He's still on the throne, and He's still there. And He'll be there until the very moment you leave this world. Even in death, He will carry you home to be with Him in glory. So, listen, don't care what's going on. All's well this morning. I just want us to see it and believe it and understand it. That's the truth. He said, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. How often do we call upon the name of the Lord? We need to be calling upon our Lord. And the name of the Lord, we're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We call unto Him who loved us. We call and cry unto Him as how? When do we do that? As long as I live. That means when everything's good and when everything's bad. When it's looking good, when it's looking bad, in the morning, in the evening, at night, pray without ceasing. He keeps our hearts in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him. And we're either going to faint or pray. Isn't it a lot better to pray than faint? Because you're going to do, if you're not praying, you're going to faint. He says, He's to pray without ceasing, lest you faint. You're going to. So it's better for us to look to Him. And brethren, when we get in trouble in this world, which is every day of our life, we need to look to the Lord. And He said, the psalmist said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Now, I thought of this particular verse in many different ways. I know one way that it's speaking of and clearly about is when a little child of grace first sees his condition before the Lord and sees himself lost and undone and in need of help in this world. It's a wonderful thing to see one of God's little children become broken. When they feel like they've got it all together. When they feel like I can handle anything. When they think I'm just as good as most people and better than most. And I can handle it in this world. I'm not worried about anything at all. And when the Lord quickens them and makes them alive, one of the things they see first is I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I'm undone and I'm in need of help. I need the Lord to help me. I need His strength. I need Him to be with me. I need Him in every single way and in every capacity in my life. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And in that trouble and in that sorrow, He says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. Brethren, if you're heartbroken this morning and you feel lost and undone in a troubled world, you call upon the name of the Lord. All ye that labor and heavy laden, call unto Him and you'll find rest. You'll have rest given to you. He says, take my yoke upon you in Matthew 11 and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. He says, then I called out upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Now, a little child of grace that calls upon the Lord and leans on Him for heaven and immortal glory is going to have peace about heaven. How are you today? Are you at peace about heaven? Are you at peace about your home? Are you resting in that? If you're resting today in how good you've been, you're in trouble. If you're resting in how much you've done for the Lord, you're in trouble. In the sense in your heart, you don't have any peace. You don't have any real peace, because you and I know, as we look at our life in the clear mirror of God's Word, that in everything I do, the Apostle Paul said this, even when I would do good, I find evil present with me. And he cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body of this death?" There's no peace to be found in that. But if your peace about heaven is that there was a Savior who came here into this world and lived a perfect life, and died on the tree of the cross and paid a sin debt and paid it in full, and washed us in His own shed blood, removing our sin debt from us as far as the east is from the west. And the day I die, I'll understand that I will not have to stand before God in judgment and make and proclaim how righteous that I've been, because I know what I've been. If it's not by His grace, it's not going to be at all. And that's true for you as well. And if that offends you, so be it. There's an offense in the gospel. That's the way it is. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And nobody gets to heaven by their good works or by doing something or any action on their part. Salvation is not of God and man. Salvation is of the Lord. And He does it all the way. And the good news is He doesn't do anything halfway. You and I, we mess up all the time. Just like the folks who put my money... Get off the window. You ever felt like you finally got a job right? Brother Terry, I'll talk about him a little bit too. Brother Terry, boy, I'll tell you what, he likes to have his walls nice and flat. And he'll look at it, and I think he got that, and then he'll shine a light up on it. And then he'll see there's another little bump, and he'll come in and shave it off, and then he'll see another one. He does it, and it's good. It looks good. But it's like anything else. All we need is a little brighter light and a little better eyes, and we'll always find another bump. We'll always find something. And, you know, he said, "You find all the nail pops." Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a job. I keep finding them. I'm ashamed to mark any. I'm not going to mark any more, brother. I kept him a long time. He said, "What's that got to do with anything?" I'm telling you, our efforts to serve the Lord is full of nail pops. It's full of imperfections. It's full of things that aren't just the way they ought to be. Even as I stand before you and preach the gospel, there are hope and pray a lot of things that are right, but there are some things in me that ought not to be there. And there are some times that words get in the wrong place, and I need to be covered with you by charity and your love. And as you sit in a congregation and even feed on the Word of God, and you feel like I'm right in the right place, sometimes the most things come across your mind and heart right in the middle of that. At times you'll be sitting there hearing about, even to sit there and hear about the name of Jesus and not get excited. Brethren, I tell you, yesterday I was among a people that, you know, they were excited. They were with you. They were with you. And I believe we are too. We're just not quite as animated about it. Sometimes it could be just animation. You know, people can act like they're with you and not be with you at all. They can turn that on. And yet sometimes a little bit of that wouldn't hurt us, because it does help to know when you're talking to somebody, you know what, do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love Him enough to say so? Do you love enough to declare that He's been so good to you? No matter what anybody, if they think you're stupid, will that bother you? Are you ashamed to name the name of your Lord? Those who are redeemed ought to say so. Listen, we have a God that is worthy of our praise and our adoration. We ought to lift our voice up in praise to Him. And my hope and trust is that He will carry me out of this old troubled world. And I want to live in a way that I believe, that others know that I believe that. He said, "Then call I upon the name of the Lord when I'm down in those low moments." And listen, that's not just happening when you first see what He's done for you, but then it's day in and day out. You can believe and understand heaven's okay, but you can have troubles that overwhelm you so much in this world that you get just tired of living. I've seen God's little children tired of living. I've seen them get so down in this world they feel like life's just such a burden. I don't want to be here anymore. David got down when Saul was after him, and he had come after him in so many ways, and here you see him speaking. And oh, I'll tell you another thing this reminds me of is when our Lord and Savior was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the sin, you know, that is ours, he saw what a weight that was going to be, and there he wept as were great drops of blood, because he saw the gravity of what he was about to do, and he felt this. And what's good about that is when you pray to him, he knows what it feels like. He knows. He was in all points tempted like unto us, yet without sin. Isn't it good that, you know, it's good we don't have to go find some little closet somewhere with another man through the window and say something to him in order to get ourselves relieved. But we can go to the throne of grace, and there with the high priest that Jesus is, talk to one who knows what we feel and knows what we need even before we ask, and the only one who's able to forgive us of our sins. Men can say, I forgive you of his sins. They don't have any more power to do that than they do to call somebody who's in a bed to rise up and walk. But I'm telling you, Jesus had the power not only to forgive sins, he had the power. And they said, well, who is this to forgive sins? He said, what's easier, to say thy sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk? And the man that was lame, being carried into the bed, picked up his bed and carried it out of there. I'm telling you, we got a powerful Lord. He said, gracious is the Lord. Isn't that good? Lord's gracious. That's a good message for you this morning. Lord's gracious. That means he's gracious and that he's given you what you don't deserve. We could all say amen to that, right? Has the Lord given you what you don't deserve? And he's gracious. And righteous. That means everything he's ever given you has been good. Isn't it good to have a God like that, a Father, that everything he's done has been right? He's never even chastened us when we didn't need it. He never has given us one strike too many or one strike too few. He suffered us and allowed us to go things. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that is talking about not necessarily everything in this world. It's talking about all things that God has given to us in our life. Everything that comes from God, all that his divine power has given to us, works together for our good. That means when he chastens us and corrects us, it's for our good, that we might grow thereby. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. He's righteous. He's a righteous God. He's a good God. Our God's a good... Yesterday I heard it over and over again. Ain't God good? Yes, he is. Ain't God... Amen. So if I can't say anything else today, I'll just say, ain't God good? You ought to say amen to that. Amen. Ain't God good? And he is. Oh, that's how wonderful he is. Yea, our God is merciful. Merciful means he didn't give me what I deserved. Gracious, it means he gave me what he deserved. You see, he was merciful in that I didn't get what I deserved. He's gracious in that he gave me what he deserved. What he had merited, he gave me. What I deserved, he bore. He who was rich became poor that I might be made rich. He who had done no sin took my sins in his own body, and what he deserved, all the rewards and blessings that he merited, are given to us, and everything in our judgment was given to him, and he bore that judgment on Calvary. The wonderful thing about our Savior is that he was able to bear it in a span of time on the cross, which would have been ours in eternity, and pay that sin debt in full. And then he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He went to the grave, and on the third revolving morning, the third day, the morning of the third day, he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave, being 3 days in the heart of the earth, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And then he came forth victorious. And we have a resurrected Savior to prove he did exactly what the Father sent him to do. And it was love that did every bit of it. It was the love he had for the Father and the love he had for his children, those that the Father had given him. It says, the Lord preserveth the simple. And if somebody in this world looks at you and calls you simple, you probably would be offended by that statement, wouldn't you? So you're simple. Well, you know what that means. It means you lack knowledge. It means you lack understanding. And one of the great blessings for God's little children is to understand that without the Lord and in our nature, we are all mankind is simple. All of us lack understanding. All of us lack knowledge. Those that feel that they have knowledge and understanding, the wise and the prudent, the Bible says he has hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, the simple. It is the Lord that allows you to see that you're simple. When the Lord works in you in the new birth, he allows you to see, look, I thought I knew something, but I don't know anything like I thought I knew. Paul thought he was a very wise man when he was persecuting the church, but when the Lord got finished with him on the road, as he was on the road to Damascus, when the Lord got finished with him, he realized, I'm simple. I don't know anything like I ought to know. He said, I had to learn to become a fool that I might be made wise. He learned that I have no light without the Lord being my light. I have no knowledge. I have no wisdom without the Lord being my wisdom. He says, the Lord preserveth. Aren't you glad the Lord preserveth the simple? The Lord preserveth them. That means he protects them. That means they're his. They belong to him. He has bought them. He has paid for them. He'll not lose one of them. When it's like a brother said, when the Lord, sometimes ladies and men they make preserves. You know, I don't know what you do with it, but they make preserves, and sometimes it's not preserved. Sometimes they make mess up. And some things they thought were preserved aren't preserved. You get them and they're not good. They're not preserved. They didn't do it right. Aren't you glad God won't have any that he misses? He preserves them. That means he keeps them. And there's a reservation. There's an inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And who is that you? The simple. That's his elect, those that he's called. And though they think they're wise in themselves, when he gets finished with them, they're made simple. And they're made to say, oh, I need him. You are a wise man if you understand you don't know anything and you need the Lord. I'll tell you what that does. It causes you to call upon him, and when you call upon him, he will give you whatever answer you need. And you know how often we have to do that every single day? How many of us are sitting here maybe today even worrying about how I'm going to get through all the stuff that I got waiting next week, all the things I've got to do? Listen, the day is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in this day. You have no promise of tomorrow or next week. Everything that's happened in the past is gone. You can't change that. But this moment, this time, you are here to worship the Lord and look to him and believe that the same God, if he gives you tomorrow, will be with you here tomorrow. He'll supply what you need tomorrow for tomorrow. He won't give you what you need tomorrow today because you don't need it till tomorrow. He gives you what you need for today. Sometimes we're not using what he gives us today because we're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. The Lord preserveth the simple. He says, I was brought low. Isn't it good to be brought low? Hope you've been brought low. Now, I don't want to keep you there. He says, I was brought low and he helped me. I was brought low and he helped me. Listen, if those he knocks down, he lifts up. If he has brought you down, he will lift you up. Who is it that the Lord? Those who humble themselves are exalted, and those who exalt themselves shall be abased. And the Lord's people are afflicted and poor people. They're afflicted and they're poor, but then they're made to be kings and priests unto God. They're lifted and elevated by the power and the might of Almighty God. He says, I was brought low and he helped me. The children of Israel, if you follow them through the Old Testament in the wilderness, if you follow them, you'll see when they get high and lifted up and they forget the Lord, all of a sudden an affliction has to come upon them and they're brought low. And you know what they do when they're brought low? They crawl upon the Lord. They remember him. Brethren, the good thing for us to be mindful of is to learn from that, not always remember to thank the Lord. Always. He said, return unto thy rest, O my soul. And that's where I've been just in my own personal life this week. I've needed his rest. I've needed to feel it. It isn't that I didn't have it. I just wasn't, I wasn't living in it. I'd gotten so concerned about life circumstances and things that really didn't amount to much. And it doesn't have to be a lot, you know, you can get that way. And I was not resting. I was troubled and had been troubled. And I still have a little bit of that I'm dealing with every day. I'm not completely out of it. But I'm a lot better. I'm telling you this morning. This morning I'm a whole lot better than I was earlier. Because there is a rest in Jesus. And I need him. I need him daily. I need him hourly. I need him moment by moment. I don't know what news is coming. All I know, if I live in this world, I got some bad news that I'm going to probably face in this world just as a fact of life. And Jesus, my rock, doesn't change because I get bad news. He's the same every single day. And he is my rest. My rest has never been getting everything right, though I think that sometimes, because if that's where my rest is, I'll never rest because there'll always be something not right until we get home to our eternal rest, and then all will be right there. Until that time, I'm telling you, when you get trouble, you return. Remember this verse, return unto thy rest. Who is your rest? That's Jesus. That's your rock. That's your help. That's your strength. That's the one who will be there and supply you wisdom when you need it and light when you need it. And can help you. He can help you naturally. He can help you emotionally. He can help you spiritually. He knows you better than you know yourself. He's the one who created us. And when you get troubled in this world, sometimes about, and most of the time it's about things, worrying doesn't help a bit. But we get so involved in worrying about it, and it doesn't help anything. It just makes things worse. It even makes those around us worse, because they get uncomfortable because you worried so much and they can't help you. And then they worry. That's contagious, isn't it? Rest is also contagious. It's going to be all right, little brother, little sister. You know why? Because Jesus is still on the throne and he rules and reigns. And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And so you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do to me. I will not be concerned. He is my helper, my strength. He's promised just as sure as he clothes the lilies and feeds the sparrows that he will clothe and feed me. And if he gives me that which is food and raiment, the Bible tells me to be there with content. And if I have that kind of contentment with godliness, which is a commitment to serve him in my daily life to the very best of my ability, he says, I have great gain if I have godliness with contentment. Doesn't mean I have to have everything right. Even my window doesn't have to get fixed. I got rest in the Lord. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He says, return unto the rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. I didn't want to miss that part. The Lord, can I say that to all of us today? Has the Lord dealt bountifully with thee? Sometimes we feel like, boy, this life ain't fair. You know, just it ain't fair. Was that the old Andy Griffith episode with that Joe Bass or whatever that guy's name? I can't remember his name exactly. Exactly, he'd always say, it ain't fair, it ain't fair, it ain't fair. It just ain't fair. That's the way we sound sometimes. Just ain't fair. I want you to know, we best be thankful the Lord hasn't dealt with us based on what would have been fair for us. Remember, he said the wages of sin is death. And if we'd have gotten what we deserved, that would have been the wage we received and what we merited. I'm also glad he said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He had dealt bountifully. I want to say that to each of us this morning. He's dealt bountifully. Still mourning for a little while. He's dealt bountifully with you. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. First of all, we have an eternal life awaiting us. It's already in us. If you're his child and you believe in him today, as evidence that you are his child, that is not what made you his child, but it's an evidence that you are his child. It's a work of grace in your heart that he's given you. And if you have that sweet hope in your heart, and that's there, that's evidence that he has delivered your soul from death, and that when you die and leave this world, you go home to be with the Lord in glory forever and ever. We sang that, and I looked around, you sang it like you really believed it. you were singing it like you believed. I want you to believe. Not only that, even in this world, we have every day a reason to have peace and rest and joy every day of our life because of him. He hath dealt bountifully with thee. He hath delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears. You have your tears. It's good to cry. You don't want to cry all the time, though. There's a time to cry, but it's good to cry. I'm glad Old Baptist can cry. It'd be bad if you couldn't. If Old Baptist couldn't cry, I'd have had to go. I couldn't be here because I'll cry in a heartbeat. I'll cry in a moment. And some people say, well, that's weakness. I'm telling you, Jesus wept. The mightiest man who ever walked on the face of the earth wept. And most of the time, the reason we don't want to see someone see us weep is nothing but solid old pride. That's what it is. Listen, you can weep inside and not have it run down your face. But we ought to weep. There's a time to weep. Listen, I weep over my sins. I weep when I have failed to do and act and behave like I ought to behave. I weep when I think of what Jesus did for me, that I might live with Him in heaven in immortal glory. I weep as I look at my family that He's blessed me with. I look at and weep when I think about the wonderful church family and the friends that He's given me here in this world. And what a day it's going to be when all of God's children are gathered. By the way, the Lord has a people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, an innumerable company that no man can number. Not just this little band of old Baptists that gather here, or all the old Baptists in this country or around the world. God's people are in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, as innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Won't it be wonderful when all the family's home in heaven? We'll see Jesus. We'll praise Him. We'll honor Him. We'll glorify Him. We'll give Him praise forever. Somebody said, well, that's going to be boring. No, you won't be boring. Listen, you get in a good church meeting and the Lord's in your heart, and you'll know I'm in a good spot. Now, matter of fact, there's been some meetings I just didn't want to leave from. There's been some I was glad they were over. But there have been some that I didn't want to leave. I just wanted to stay on. And did we have to go? Because I know when I go out in this world, I'm going to face some trouble. But listen, He didn't put the salt in the closet not to be used. It is to be applied in this world. So we're not to be here always. You come here and learn how to be the salt and the light. And then you go out in the world and you take the name of Jesus with you. And you reflect the light of Christ in your life, and you become the salt of the earth and the light of the world, only as you reflect Jesus to the honor and glory of the Lord. Okay, time is gone. I'll read quickly here. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. We are living in a world that is without the Lord dead. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. But when God works in our hearts, He makes us living. And there's a land of the living. And when you're here gathered with the Lord's people, you're in the land of the living. When you're out in the world, He said, love not the world, the things of the world. We can't be in love with the world and the friend of God. We're either going to love the Lord or we're going to love the world. It's not... And so there's a world that's dead and dying, and that's not the land of the living. Here, the land of the living is when we are walking here in this world with fellowship with God's little children. It's in the land of the living. And then there's that eternal home awaiting us, which truly will be a land of the living. He says, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. And I'm not going to be able to just read that. So time is gone. You've been patient. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? Brethren, what we ought to render is due service unto Him. If you love the Lord, you ought to take up your cross and follow Him in baptism. If you love the Lord, you ought to live your life in a way to honor and glorify Him and praise Him. You ought to want to be a part of that church that He's put here in this world, where you can come in and commune and take part in the ordinances and do it in remembrance of Him, where we break bread together and share the share of the unleavened bread and the wine and do it in remembrance of Him, to remember Him and His death until He comes. And we're to walk in this world in a way to bring honor and glory unto Him. He who has done so much for us, if there's much given, there's much required, not in order to become His child, but just because of who He is. And we ought to do it because we love Him. I do appreciate your kind attention this morning. If you have a mind to pray, please remember me and continue to pray for me. God bless you.
Thank you.